In episode 9 of Finding Our Balance, we chat with sales gangster Chris Morrison. Chris has 15 years of experience in sports nutrition, has managed some of the largest athletes in the world and country across UFC, NRL and bodybuilding, and has been responsible for more than $50 million in revenue generated in business across 5 continents.
We chat with Chris about creating business growth in network marketing, strategies for selling in the current situation that is COVID-19, changing and adapting your mindset along with creating and maintaining a daily routine to achieve your goals. This episode is a little bit different from what we normally focus on, but we thought it would be perfect time to do so whilst a lot of people are still working from home or maybe looking at new business ventures or even just have some more free time on their hands.
We learnt so much from Chris and we can't wait for you to hopefully take something from this episode and implement it into your everyday life. Chris Morrison, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm absolutely fantastic, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Really good. Yeah, thank you. So we just wanted to start a little bit today with a bit of a background on what you do and so everyone can get a bit of an understanding of who you are as well.
Cool. So, again, guys, thank you so much for having me on. A little bit of an understanding of who I am, and this is, I think I'm dialing in on this more and more every day because one of the biggest challenges we have as humans is working out who the fuck we are. It's the truth. It really is. But this version of myself, I'm a 29-year-old sales trainer from Sydney, Australia, who teaches people to get out of their own way enough to actually go and do the things they want to do in their life. I'm also a sausage dog owner. His name is Donut. I love him more than anything in the world. And the biggest thing that I probably focus on in my whole life are two main messages. One being how to get people out of their own self-sabotaging habits, and the other being how to generate business in such a... how do I explain this best? I have been given a label by other people, not by me, of being extremely pragmatic. Now, I had to go Google what this word meant after I saw it come up 983 times. What pragmatic means is it just makes sense. So when I reach out to people to potentially do business with them, and when I teach people to do it the same way, they don't see it as anything where they see me trying to generate business. They see it as it makes sense and that they have to speak to me better after that. So for me, I teach people how to be resilient enough to actually go through the psychological bullshit that they actually need to get through to actually get to the stage they want to get to, where they actually get to the point where they can be pragmatic enough to actually make that offer come through to make their own their business get generated. And I like having some fun through the whole process. So like for me, I think that's one of the biggest things. And I'm going to throw this back onto you guys now too. And I want the first lesson in this so far to be is people. See, my whole life has seen me as a polarizing person, right? I'm not your average. I don't want to be by any fucking means. But the first question I ask someone is always, and this has got nothing to do with, how do I turn this first? It's got nothing to do with the actual category of whatever I'm doing. It could be me being in a podcast. It could be me on a phone call. The first question I ask everyone is for you two, and I'll ask both of you right now. I'll start with Leah. What's the best thing that's happened to you so far this morning?
Can you repeat that question, sorry?
What's the best thing that's happened to you so far this morning?
This morning? Well, normally I'm a bit of a sleeper in these COVID times. But as of this week, I have to start work again. So I'm going back to work for a couple of days, which I haven't done in about 2 months almost. So I decided that this week I'm going to start getting up a bit earlier, go for a walk, get outdoors, start more of a routine, I guess, for myself so I can get back to the swing of things and I can make sure I still have time to exercise and listen to podcasts and that sort of thing. So that's the best thing that happened was probably, yeah, being able to get outside, go for a walk, get a coffee and just sort of make the most of my morning.
Can I ask you a question?
Tell me.
Are you proud of yourself for that?
I am, yeah. Definitely. Because cool. It's pretty cold this morning too.
No, absolutely. I'm proud of you that too. Now, Alex, what about you? What's the thing, the number one thing you're happy with yourself for this morning or proud of yourself for?
I've been having a lot of like back pain and one of my ribs has kind of been out of place. And this morning I finally went to the chiropractor and she cracked me back into place. So that made me feel really good, and I was proud of myself because I've been putting it off because I've been like, oh, I'll just stretch it, it'll be fine, and it's been like 2 weeks of pain, so
now it's all good. It's like strapped and I'm feeling a lot better and I'm proud that I went and did it and I really enjoyed it.
Okay, cool. Now, for me, the number one thing I'm most proud of myself for, just so you guys know this morning, is I got up real fucking late this morning. Like, I'm not proud of myself for not following my normal routine because I do have one. It is essential for me to be doing this and I didn't do it this morning. And the number one thing I'm not proud of.
It's late for you.
So I got up at 8 today. I normally get up at 4:30. So that's like half my day gone, right? Mm-hmm. So the thing I'm probably the most proudest of myself for is not psychologically bashing myself for that and accepting the fact that that's what's happening, being okay with it. But then still getting up and doing, because I do a daily live every morning, and still getting up and doing that. So I'm really proud of myself for that too. But the reason why I always start with everything I do with a question like that is because we've just gone through what will be likely the biggest event we will remember in our history, in anything we do for the next, for our lifetime ever. Everyone's scared. Everyone's not in a good position. Everyone is focusing on the negative in the world for the most part. If you can have someone show you to only consciously every single day to think on what's happening, even if it's just in the morning, but the most positive thing that's happened so far, it sets the tone for the day. But the other thing from my side, when I'm the person that helps bring that up to light for you, every time you see my name, you're going to think positive things. And I'm going to be my name is going to be in the same basket as positive things at all times. Even if I fuck up, I'm still saying it's positive. Mm. So every time I start something, I always go with that pattern. And it starts building relationships really fucking quickly and really, really, really easily because it takes it away from the psychological process of, oh, no, no, this is a podcast. I don't know him or her. And it makes it fun, makes it everything. But even the same in any business conversation or if any new person I meet, for fuck's sake, it's the same thing, purely based on the fact that it makes the whole situation really simple, really fun, and it makes your perception to other people's worlds only positive for now anyway, unless you fuck up.
Mm. Amazing. So tell us what your morning routine is, waking up at 4:30.
Cool. So my morning routine when I first wake up is 4:30 isn't a chosen time. It's just the time I've been waking up as of late. Like I sort of fluctuate between 4:30 and 5:30, but I haven't set an alarm in years and I choose not to. I don't want to. I feel like you should wake up to your body's natural alarm, especially if you do actually like what you do. And I think that's probably the biggest thing and the biggest differential between alarms and non-alarms. If you wake up and you like what you do, it's probably a reason that you're happy to get up at that time. If you wake up and you don't like what you do, you usually need an alarm because you need that generative thing to get you out of bed at the same time too.
Yeah.
So for me, my first thing that I do when I wake up is, if you guys haven't heard, and you may or may not have, if you have heard of a guy named Wim Hof, he is an absolutely psychotic dude who can go and sit in the snow in Antarctica and just sit on the ice in snow and just be so comfortable with it and not have any not have the cold affect him in any way, shape, and form. Now the reason he can do that is because biochemically he's been able to change the cell membranes in his DNA to actually be able to cope with the types of pressure and different types of problems that come up in his own DNA, like breakdown every single day, by doing a specific breathing method and technique that he has coined as the Wim Hof method, that actually gets you so disattached and disassociated from your physical to your spiritual being in such a way that it actually activates what's called your pineal gland, which is what actually increases your intuition and your own body's biochemistry at the same time too. So in the morning, I do it's 3 rounds of 2 minutes, three 2 minute rounds of his breathing technique. So what that is you do like 30 breaths, like as deep as you can, and then exhale as well. So 30 times for that, and then you hold. Once you exhale on the 30th, you hold with no breath in for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second round is a minute 30 seconds, no breath in, and so your lungs are completely empty the whole way through. And then the third one is 2 minutes. So do that first thing every morning, and you can have had a big weekend. You may not have slept for the last 3 nights because you've been stressed about something. You may have been in a position where, you know, you're just not energetic and you're in the right frame of mind, whatever it might be, right? When I do that in the morning, it reframes me in such a way that I have more energy than I could have coffee if I had 19 shots of coffee in one go. And it frames me in such a way that I know that anything that comes up, because my body is so oxygenized in such a way that I'm not scared of anything at that point in time, it decreases your level of fear, it decreases any form of anxiety, and it puts you in a psychological position where you know you can take on anything, and you feel fucking amazing. That's probably the side of it too. So that's what I do first thing in the morning, right? And that for myself is probably one of the coolest things I've ever learned how to do. Like, for example, I did it before this podcast as well, because it, when you have those, as a human, you have these fears that come up and all these things that come up through your normal brains, your reptilian brain problems every single day. When you have control of your breath, and this is something that a lot of Navy SEALs will if you ever speak to one or listen to any of this stuff, will actually give you their best foot forward on is actually breathing. Because if you can control your breath, you can have control over anything else at the same time too, because nothing will affect you anything more than not breathing properly, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So from there, I usually go and do the Bay Run. So I live in Sydney. I go and do the Bay Run, and I run probably 3% of it, and that's if that, because I'm a fat shit and I don't like running. God, I don't like that at all. But from there, that's, you know, people say they do meditation. I think meditation doesn't have to be sitting there like this with your eyes closed and you know, like going into a different realm, or maybe that is a form of meditation. My meditation is going and doing that walk every single morning. But the way I go about it isn't necessarily as normal people would. Or maybe they do, maybe they don't. But most people I speak to don't do the way that I do it. I will listen to a book usually until I have a fear come up. Now, what I do in the mornings is I consciously tackle my fears every morning. So if I've got something that's sitting in the back of my brain or my subconscious, whatever it might be, and I don't know what to do or how to get through it, I label what the fears are out and then build a plan on how to overcome my fears for that day on that walk in the morning. Because the biggest thing that holds most people back from actually achieving the things they want to achieve is not knowing how to overcome fears that they have to come up. And most of them, 9 times out of 10, aren't, like, your fears aren't being chased by a fucking lion. Your fears aren't being chased like a bear going to break into your fucking house and eat you overnight. You know what I mean? Your fears are usually, what are people going to think if I put myself out there? What happens if this doesn't work out? If I do leave my job to go and pursue this new thing, am I going to be in a position where it's not going to work out and I'm going to be too scared to actually embark on that journey? These are the things that most people generally have. I'm no different, you know what I mean? Like, these are the fears that I have. I always, I'm just like you. I'm just like everyone else that might be listening to this too. I worry about what other people think about me. I worry about what I'm doing, is it good enough to put out there? I worry about the different things that come up in every single situation where it's like, am I good enough for my partner some days? Am I good enough for myself? These are normal, common human things I think everyone goes through. And every morning I tackle these because every day they're different. They all have the same undertone of the stuff too, but every day they are different. So what I do is I recommend that you guys go and watch Tim Ferriss's TED Talk on fear setting. So if you guys have fear setting, so there is the element of goal setting, right? Goal setting is awesome. You say, I want to do X, and to do X, I'm going to do Y and Z to make that happen, right? With fear setting, what most people, the average person, doesn't actually do when it comes to setting goals is work out what isn't going to happen. What's going to fuck up that I know is going to fuck up, but I'm not going to actually, the average person won't try and label out what the fuck ups might be and what's going to scare them between X deciding what you want to do and then Y and Z being the task you have to do to make it happen. What's going to psychologically stop you from actually doing X and like Y and Z, like the task Y and Z, based on the fact that you're either too scared to do it, whatever it might be? With Tim Ferriss's fear setting, it basically tells you, it gives you three columns, and because I use a spreadsheet for this, and I in Google Sheets. And the first column is the fears that you have. So hypothetically, if you were to say, I'm too scared to put a podcast out because I don't know if people are going to think about me, whatever it might be, right? The next one is what's the reason behind that when it comes down to it? I'm pretty sure. So you've got to essentially, you bring reason to the fears. And then the next column is how would you overcome that if you could, if that makes sense. So what two or three things could you do that if the fear is that I'm going to be too scared to put this podcast out, one or two things that you could do right now to mitigate that fear would be, go and ask 10 people that you know that if you put a podcast out, would they love to hear it or not love to hear it? It would give you more confidence in that respect at the same time too. Then the next column would be, if that doesn't work out and they don't give me the answer that I want, what is the recuperating thing that I can do that would stop, like that would bring me back, even if it does fuck up? Even if I put that out there, everyone hates it and they fucking hate me, what can I do to protect myself and actually make sure that I can stay on track psychologically or physiologically, whichever way it may be, to actually go through that process and not be scared of it at the same time too? Because then you can actually sit there, actually go through what those fears are and show yourself that, one, there's a way to get around it, and two, even if it doesn't go the way you want it to go, you have another plan on how to get through that after that too. You are no longer scared of what comes up anymore. So my mornings, while some people always say, like, you know, there's, my morning routine is beautiful, right? My morning routine can be pretty fucked some days because it can make you go really, 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 really heavily in the depths of your own deep, darkest fears when it comes down to it. And it is a great transformational process, but it can be very scary for it at the same time too. But when I do that, I don't have fears behind anything anymore. And I would say that one of the biggest things that would probably give me the conviction to do 99% of the things that I do is because I have the ability to know that I'll be able to get through whatever the fuck comes up in such a methodical way, because it's practical and it's something that anyone can do, but you just have to put the work in to do it. So I go and do the Bay Run and I do that. After that, I do a live on Instagram every single day at 8:30 a.m. From that, I usually speak about stuff like this, how to overcome your own psychological warfare so you can actually go and do the things that you need to do to actually get to the goal you want to get to. Because I found that the majority of people's problems out there right now are that. They don't know how to get through their own bullshit. It's got nothing to do with the practical steps they know that they need to take to actually get to the job, the goals that they want to get to. It's, how do I get out of my own way enough to actually go and do this stuff, because I'm too scared to do it more than anything else. So once you, this is how I found anyway, it may not be the same for you, it may not be the same for the next person listening, but what I found was when I was able to uncover that, I just brought that part to the front of my day and made sure that I, every single day, challenged myself on that. The reason why I do lives every single morning is because I said I was too scared to do it. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to do it. It has turned out so even profitable for me because more buying things from me, which is great. It helps them at such a major level. But the reason why I wasn't doing that prior is because there were specific people out there who I thought, man, what are they going to think if I do this? You know what I mean? Like, what if I don't have the ability to stay consistent with it? Blah, blah, blah. And all this shit came up. And I thought, you know what? The only way to get through this is to just do it. So that's a really long-winded example of an explanation of what my morning routine is. But I have to give people the mindset behind what I do. And this is something that I live by. I have to give people the philosophy and the mindset behind what I do before I just say, oh, you know, I wake up, I do a breathing thing, and then I go do a walk. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, for sure. There's definitely meaning behind everything you do. Yeah.
Like, I have to give the philosophy and the mindset behind saying these things before I actually give them the practical tools. Because if I were to say to you, because we pre-framed and I said, you know, if you want to ask me anything specifically for you guys and what you guys want to learn, if I don't tell you the philosophy and the actual method behind what I do, I can just say, oh, go for a walk in the morning, everything will be sweet. But that doesn't mean shit. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to have the philosophy behind it, because if you understand how to do that, it makes it a transformational process for you every day at the same time too. So from there, actually, after I get back from doing that, because I do the live in my car, drive home, then I have a cold shower for 5 minutes. I have not turned the warm water on in a shower in 2 years.
Wow. Do you know what? I've tried to do this cold shower thing, and I try to do it a lot, but it's so hard because I have the hottest showers to the point where, like, my skin burns. And then it comes to winter, and I'm like, how do these people do these cold showers?
Go and do Google the Wim Hof breathing method. Do it for 3 rounds, then jump in the cold shower. You don't feel it.
Yeah, I'm going to try it.
Yeah, my partner does it, and he swears by it as well. And every time he's like, you should do it. And I'm like, one day I'll get to it.
So I know that way works. Mm-hmm. However, what a lot of people do when they're first starting with the cold shower journey is just do the last 20 seconds of your shower is cold. Mm-hmm. Like, start with that. You know what I mean? That is a really, you know, sort of like a cold shower hack. You know what I mean? You've already had it. You may as well try it. Go from there. Once you realize it's not that bad, you can go through that process again. Anyway, so that's. I hope that answers my morning routine. And for a lot of people, if they could just do, you know, at least the breathing every morning, it would make the challenges they have come up during the day a lot more, a lot easier. And I guess the other thing that I should mention too, and this is something that most people sort of freak the fuck out when I say it, is I only eat once a day. Like I'm fitness industry born and bred, right? Like I've been in the industry for 15 years, but I only eat once a day. And I only eat at 6 p.m. every day. Like I fast for 24 hours every single day. So
what?
Why? Why?
So I'll give you a couple of reasons as to why that is, right? So like I said, and you may or may not have realized so far, but 90% of what I do is more psychological than anything else, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I think everyone needs to have a little bit of an understanding of that for them to get to wherever they want as well. Now, for me, I am more consciously aware of my own bullshit when I am on an empty stomach. I am, my intuition is infinitely stronger when I am, when I don't have food in my system, because I have gone into the neuroscience behind this, and I know I could if I wanted to, but the neuroscience that what I would guess in it is the energy it would take for you to, and your body to digest certain foods would take away from the energy that your body needs to actually have strong intuition and all these other things too, right? And I personally believe that without looking into it, I reckon that's what it is. But it helps me be, and this is a real fucking shitty way of saying, because I hate these, like, what's the word? I hate these, like, throwaway words. Like, it makes me feel more connected to me. So if I feel like something's going to happen this day, my intuition is so strong that I know what will work and what won't instantly, psychologically. My body will tell me that. But if I eat during the day, it dulls that massively. Like, in such a massive way, my intuition is not anywhere near it should be. My response time in things is nowhere near it should be. I don't feel as smart as I could. But if I eat at night and I have one meal, the other side of it too is I'm Greek and I'm a fat shit by trade. And I really like food. And it helps me eat one massive fucking meal where I can actually essentially like pig out, right? And really enjoy my food. So it, my inner child, Christopher, gets to be a little fat kid and enjoy and enjoy his time. And then my grown version, Christopher, who is just the larger, a little bit more scared, just knows how to deal with the scared now, kid who just needs more conscious awareness. And it actually, for anyone who understands the actual benefit of being connected to your inner child, it actually helps me connect my inner child more, to the point where, like, I bought a skateboard the other day so I can actually go out and skate again, because he would want to skate. And when he is happy, my inner child, I am happy. So that's another thing too. But yeah, so for me, on that, I only eat once a day. And during the day, I am so much more switched on. I actually have more energy. The fact that people say that you need food inside your system to be energetic is a lie. Yes, it might work on an arcadic cycle where you may need something like actual energy in versus energy out. But as long as you get that type of food in at least once per day, it's like petrol in your car, right? You don't need to be eating. You don't need to put petrol in your car six times per day for you to get what you need, right? It's once a week, whatever it is. As long as that the energy source is in there, you will go until it ends.
And so you would eat a calories worth a day of what in you would meal. Eat a day in one meal.
2,000 to 3,000 calories, yeah.
And then how do you feel after that meal? Are you like tired and just want to go to bed or...?
It depends, I think. It depends on the type of food. Like, by the end of the day, I'm usually pretty cooked anyway. Like, probably 4 p.m. onwards, if someone tries to get me to do something that's of value to the world, I'm useless. If I'm getting 4:30 a.m. or 5 or whatever it might be, by that time, I've already had a full 12-hour day by that time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So at that point, like, you're in a position where even if I had this massive meal, it's not going to give you an infinite amount of energy based on the fact that you've already been up for 12 and a half hours. You know what I mean? So I try to do it in that respect where I know, and this changes, but it really does help in the world to know your own patterns, if that makes sense. And I know that my patterns are really energetic in the morning, less so in the middle of the day, really tired at night anyway. So if I eat the food, and even the food makes you more tired, that was the goal anyway. You know what I mean? Like, that was the goal of doing that. But there are times, don't get me wrong, where I will eat like a 2,000 calorie meal and I'll be ready to fight a lion.
Wow. What about exercise? Do you exercise in the afternoon? Are you like fine on an empty stomach, or do you?
So if I do weight obviously can't train at the gym right now. But if I do resistance training of any sort, even if I do weight training, I will still do it at about 6 a.m. So I will still go all day without eating.
Yeah, okay.
So, but what that truly is, if you understand the you know, physiological understanding of how calories in versus calories out work, it is essentially just calorie backloading, where you would eat all your calories the night before and then just use those calories when you train the next morning.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's kind of the way that I do it. So yeah, I think that is something that most people don't comprehend in the beginning.
Mm.
But when you try it, it's probably one of the there's a few things that I call like rules in my life now. Like the absolute earliest I'll eat is like 3 p.m. absolute earliest if I'm starving, because I know that 90% of the things that I have to do for that day is already done by that time. And the rest of it is like, yeah, they're the sort of rules that my daily life live by when it comes down to it. And I think these are all ones that I think are very valuable to people to hear if they choose to go down that path, or even just for a different perspective, if that makes sense too.
Yeah, wow, I look forward to every single meal. That's like that's like the exciting part of my day. I'm like, oh, do you miss lunch yet? Oh God, I gotta have lunch.
No, I get it. I was like that too for years. Now I think I get to enjoy that one meal more. Mm. I get to enjoy that one meal more.
So let's get into some of the business side of things. So what advice would you give to someone who's like thinking it's the right time to like leave a job, but it's risky and they want a new career path? Where would you really start?
So going from one career path to another, or going from a career path to starting their own gig?
I guess both. So say for example, I'm in a full-time job at the moment, working for a company, working for somebody, but yep. I would go off and start my own business within a different industry potentially, and work for myself.
Sure. I think the best way to explain how I would go about this is I would go, firstly, and this is a great way to think about this, is read a book called Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
This book.
Yeah, the method that he tries to teach in that, or he does teach in that, is very simple. Keep your day job, but mind your business. So what that means is keep your day job until you can build what it is that you want to do to a point where the money that you are making from your business, or side hustle, whatever it might be, is matching the amount of money that you make at your current job, or at least like 85% of that, where you can actually, but you have to have a plan in place to make sure that you know that you can actually make the rest of that money come through, if that makes sense. So the way that he teaches it is keep your day job, but mind your business. So even if you have savings, even if you have anything else, it would be silly for you to go and start or jump straight into and go help other into some sort of side hustle, whatever it might be, without actually going through the process of understanding that you may well not be able to make the money that you want to in the first place. But if you can do them both at the same time and then just structure your days in a way where that works better for you. And how I would do this is that it's not something my personal belief is not something that you could do and say like, oh, you know, I work my 9 to 5 from Monday to Friday and then do this in the weekends. I think it needs to be a daily structure more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And my personal recommendations, because everyone says, oh, you need to come home, do it at night, but you get home, you've had a bad day, you don't want to do it at night. I'd recommend getting up at 4 a.m. and working from 4 till 8 on your personal wants, dreams, and whatever it might be, and then go to work and then start that process again every day and then work your weekends too. Because if you do it and you focus on it in the first part of your day, if you do what is, you know, it's spent in time when no one else is awake. It's spent in time when no one can actually interrupt you and you know, sort of take you off track when it comes down to it. But if you were to put in 4 till 8 a.m. every single day on your, you know, your personal dreams or whatever it might be, by the time 8 a.m. comes and you go to this job that you go to, you'll be so motivated to actually work out how you can make the next 4 till 8 a.m. so beneficial for you, because you're like, cool, I know what to do now, and I'm confident enough that every single day, 8 a.m., when most people are waking up, I've already done more than they've done in the whole day, and it's going to bring my dreams to life because they're at the same time too. Like, if I have to ever in my life, if I have to go get a job again, that is what I would do. You know, that is what I would do. And that's the way that I would go about it. But I would work out, I would go and learn how to do fucking cash flow projections as well to understand how much money you would need every single day for you to work out, you know, how much do you actually need every single day, week, month to not only survive, but well, actually probably survive is the first place to do it. I'd work out how much money you need to work out how you can survive if things did go wrong, and then work out what's the actual goals that you want to achieve financially, whatever it might be, and actually work out how to make that happen. But you need to work out the reason, like the real reason why behind that. Because if it's just a number, there's a high probability that won't happen. Mm-hmm. The way I try to say is, even if you say, let's say you want to make 10 grand a month, right? The thing is with this, most people fall short of this because they don't have the goal of, they just want to make 10 grand a month. They threw a number out there, right? The way I see it is, if you do want to make 10 grand a month, but you don't have an actual reason why, you don't really need that money. This is where people fall short. If you don't really need that money, this is the biggest problem that people have. I would set a different goal of, my goal is to get 10 grand a month. So I learn what it takes to make 10 grand a month. So I learn what it takes, what skills, what things you can't do, what sacrifices you have to make, what things you have to say no to, and consciously and consistently what things you have to do to make sure that you can actually make that 10 grand a month. The real goal there and the real motivator is to learn what it takes to do that and make that, and what changes and what patterns you have to make different in your world to actually become that. Like for me, a lot of what I do now is actually fucking like 99% of what I do now is, how can I overcome my own personal bullshit to get to the, like if I do pick a goal, the goal is to work out how to get to that goal and what it takes to be resilient enough to get to that goal and consistently do that and then level it up again. Because once you realize that the real goal is the personal journey and the real goal is actually being confident in yourself enough to be able to do it again and then go and do it again and again and again in any platform or place you get dropped into, that's the goal you should be shooting towards. So if you can work out what money you actually need, firstly, like that, this is goal one, work out how much money you need to survive. That's how much money you would need to get to in your side hustle before you would go from job to just working that full time. Yep. And then the next goal would be, cool, now that we understand that, let's pick a number on how much money we want to make from there. And then if that's the goal, what does it take psychologically and physiologically to do that, to actually get through that? And what do I need to say no to? What do I need to say yes to? And how do I need to structure my life to make this happen? And are there people in my life that I need to get rid of? Are there people in my life that I need to go find? Like, these are the things that I would do. And I would do it in that methodical way. I would read that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, just to get the mindset behind it specifically. And then go and start your side hustle between 4 and 8 a.m. every single day to do that. That's such a consistent way that you know that you're doing 20 hours a week on that before the world even wakes up. Before the sun even gets up, you're already on 20 hours in that week on bringing that to life. And if you do the right task and you do actually have a product or service offering that the world wants or needs, it won't take long to make that happen either. Like if you set yourself a 90-day goal, if I'm going to do 20 hours a week on this with the right, you know, method in doing that, by the end of day 90, I would be very surprised if you weren't already making that money. Like very, 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 very surprised. But the way that you do that, and this is what I teach most people, is making that, one, you're going to pick what that is, two, you're going to pick who that's for, three, you're going to make it so simple that they just say, yes, I'll give you money because I can see that you actually have a cure to my problems. And four, you need a way to make it happen and at scale too, you know what I mean? So it's not hard. It's the hardest thing is getting over your own shit and being, I think goal one is being so focused on the education you would need to make it happen for you rather than actually bringing the goal to life. And the applied education rather than just the education. Because I can teach you something, but if you don't apply it, all you did was listen to it for enjoyment rather than education, actually practical application. And that's what most people fall short. They go, I read a book. Did you fucking do anything with it though?
Yeah.
Like, did you read it like a textbook and actually go and do the task after it was written in the line? Like, that is where most people fall short. My life started changing when I started reading books, stopping and going, doing it, reading, stopping, doing. That's when things started changing for me.
Yeah, I think that's such a big thing as well, because I do read a lot of sort of self-help books and that sort of thing, which are really good at the time, and you go through them and you talk to people about them and you're like, this is really good, you should read it. and that's kind of where it stops. You're like, yeah. Okay, you don't really do anything about it. And I think that's a big thing that a lot of people do.
Yeah, and I'm a perfect example, right? Like, I didn't read a book until I was 26 or somewhere between 24 and 26. I don't remember the exact age. But I say this with a grain of salt because it's not what I mean. But what I mean in this when I say this is I couldn't read. Like, I can't sit there. I don't have the attention span. I'm fucking, like, terrible when it comes to trying to read. I do audio everything, right?
Mm.
And Audible is my number one. Two apps that I most use is Audible and Spotify. And Audible, I think currently, I think since 26, I'm 29 now, I think I've read about 250 books in that time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell me one book. Have you read The Third Door?
I haven't, no.
Oh, you should read that one.
It's what's really that? Good.
So it's about, let me just bring it back. Sorry, my Audible just opened.
That's okay.
It's basically going through how, like, the world's leaders tapped into their careers and how the most successful people launched their careers. And just this guy's journey to basically meeting all these people who are successful in the world and uncovering, like, how they got there and everything. And it's just... I listened to it on Audible and it was amazing. I was like, oh, just so inspiring. So, yeah, that's a really good one.
I think most of the books I'm reading now, like, the, so one thing, a very good friend, my best mate, Adrian, right?
Mm-hmm.
He actually reminded me of this when he brought it up to me because I said it as a throwaway comment, but it wasn't really a throwaway comment the way that I said it. It was more so like, this is my practical strategy on what and how to read. I read based off the problems I have right now. I have X problem. Like, one of my goals this year was to learn how to be more consistent and resilient. That was one of my goals because I knew that I know that everything I do, like, let's say financial goal, I know I can go from 0 to 10 grand a month in less than 90 days very easily. From that, where I have fallen short before is continuing that because I get complacent, I get bored, and whatever it might be. I can very easily get from that first 90-day goal from 0 to 10 grand a month, no problems whatsoever, very easily. I know that part. It's from that and from there that the challenges might come in because I'm like, well, I've already done it. I'm starting to get a bit bored. I don't know if I like this as much anymore because I've done this time and time. I've done this time and time and time again over. So the goal is like consistency and resiliency. So now a lot of my reading is based around how to be more resilient and how to be more consistent with everything I do. One of the best books I'm reading at the moment is called Resilience. I forget the guy's actual name. I'll text you guys later. But it's an ex-Navy SEAL who's reading letters from one Navy SEAL to another post their journey in the SEALs on how to be resilient through everything at the same time too. And it's really funny because the lessons they're teaching in it are breathing and meditation and pretty much the things that I'm already doing, if that makes sense. Now, I'm no longer at that point of fear when it comes to it, but it's just like one of the biggest goals, and it was pretty much for just everything too, is like resiliency and how to build resilience as a habit. You know what I mean? So for me, when I read books, okay, cool. Problem one is I need to learn how to do this. Problem two is I need to go and work out who the best authors are in that. Problem three is I need to make it a habit every single day to make sure that I can read these things as well. So when I've read 250 books, that's because I've had 250 problems that needed fixing. Or probably more so likely 50 problems that needed fixing, because if I have one problem, I'd read 5 books on it. That's the sort of thing I do, because then it becomes habit after that.
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm.
Bringing it back to, say, I guess what's going on at the moment. So with COVID-19, a lot of people potentially out of their normal jobs,
yeah.
Maybe working on other projects and things like that. Obviously, we're really lucky to have things like social media, Instagram, to connect with people and potentially do business that way. What would your suggestions be, for example, on, like, I guess, reaching out to people, trying to sell through those sort of platforms as opposed to calling people, cold calling and things like that? How would you suggest ways to sort of grow a business that way?
I want to start at the beginning here. You definitely mentioned we're in a position right now where the world is in, it's not in a standstill, we're starting to come back. But I was speaking with someone the other day who was a very well-known marketer in the US, and he gave me the piece of information that makes a lot of sense too, because we are at at best, 12 months away from an actual, like, vaccine for COVID-19.
Yes.
So whatever it might be. Then from there, for them to actually go and vaccinate every single person around the world, it will take another 12 months. So that's 24 months there before it's even gone. Then further to that, let's look at the actual, let's use the example of a Navy SEAL, right? A Navy SEAL goes to war, comes back, and then they have PTSD after going to war. After this whole situation with COVID, there is going to be like a post-COVID stress disorder. It's almost guaranteed. So no longer do the messages of I will help you make 10 grand this month and the messaging of get you the get you shredded in the best shape of your life, like all these messages do not work anymore. This is the thing that people need to focus on and understand right now. I learned this pretty quickly because I do a lot of outreach. Like I think on average my current marketing team send out maybe 1,000 emails per day to prospective clients. Mm-hmm. Which is a lot. Like that's 7,000 a week. We get a lot of response from that. Like on average, my email marketing gets like up to 96% open rates and up to 57% reply rates. So that's up to like 4,000 replies a week for positive. So that's new business that comes through that as well.
Yeah.
But the messaging had to change in this respect too. So what I do, and this is the best way that I think of right now. So for two reasons. One, you try and call someone right now, no one answers their phone. Like people are sitting here. Actually, let me ask you a question, right? When was the last time you answered a phone call from a number you didn't know without screening at first?
2 weeks ago when I signed up to a wine cellar delivery. Just out of pure boredom that I answered the call.
Right. But you knew that. So how frequently do you screen calls though?
Oh, well, I never would answer.
Yeah.
So the methodology of like calling someone like cold right now is irrelevant because people don't answer their phones anymore. Like I know for me when I'll be scrolling and a number I don't know comes up, I'm all pissed off because I was looking at something on fucking Facebook or Instagram and I want to get back to that.
Yes.
And then the fear comes up like, fuck, who's calling me? What have I done? Like, am I in trouble? Like, what's going on? The whole avoidance thing comes in. So that method is no longer that relevant for right, especially for right now anyway, because people are too scared to want to answer their phone because they don't know what's going on in the world anyway. What they do know what's going on in the world, but they don't know how to deal with what's going on in the world. So the messaging that comes through right now, you can no longer have the messaging of like, I'll help you get the business of your dreams, or I'll help you get the body of your dreams, whatever it might be. The new things that need to be spoken about, like, is truly helping others. And if your message to people isn't about preservation and maintaining safety right now and being able to get through this time and being able to actually be trustworthy enough to show that you have a plan to help someone actually mitigate any further problems happening or keeping their current business or potentially giving them 1% better in their current business in a way where their business can help more people say more safety things to other people as well. These are things people are caring about because they're more scared about losing right now than gaining. Because gaining right now isn't actually a focus because everyone's so focused on how to maintain their safety and keeping what's disappearing right now too. So if you are going to go out there and try to generate new business right now, if your messaging is not around helping others or maintaining safety or giving people hope right now, you will fall on deaf ears. Mm. I'm telling you this right now. You will fall on deaf ears 110%. The way that I've been doing it and the way that I have a lot of people who are clients of mine who are doing it right now too is we do like cold email marketing. And the reason I do cold email marketing is purely based on the fact that the two things that people are doing right now, especially during COVID-19, are sitting on fucking Instagram and scrolling. And two is they're sitting in their inbox because anyone at work is doing the whole remote thing. So they're doing most of their business through their inbox. So they're sitting in the inbox right now. So one of the things that I try to employ within people's like their thought patterns when it comes to generating business is meet people, one, in the conversation that they're already having in their mind. So that's why if you told them, no, I'm going to make heaps of money, blah, blah, that's not the conversation they're having in their mind at the moment. The conversation they're having in their mind that's keeping them up at night is, I'm scheduled to losing everything. So if your messaging aligns with, I'm going to help you stop losing everything and maybe get 1% better rather than fucking $10 million better, that's going to be more relevant right now than just giving them that desire for status and stuff. Like, that's not going to work anymore. Then the other thing is, once you've got the messaging right, so where you're meeting them in the conversation they have in their mind, you need to actually meet them in the place where they are too. So if people don't answer the phone anymore, you're wasting everyone's time and money trying to get them right there. If they're sitting on Instagram and Facebook, you need to meet them with a message that actually aligns with the conversation going on in their head right there. Being on Facebook or Instagram ads costs a lot, really easy to fuck up. That's half the problem. Then there's cold email marketing, which is free. If you get your messaging right, people will reply, and it costs nothing to do that. So it costs me to, how do I spend this best? On average, I get 5 to 6 people who want to speak to me every single day. On average, those conversations, if it go the way that we choose it to go to and manage through that process, it can be a split of about up to $30,000, that conversation, a split between us, if that makes sense. So if, and I'm getting 7 people a day on average that I'm speaking to, which means there's a possibility of making about $250,000 per day based off those conversations. That's not what you make that per day. It's across a year or thereabouts with the conversation I'm having with these people. What that does is it gives such an understanding. What you have to do at that point is be so clear in the messaging with them that it gives them such an understanding that they have to get on the phone with you for that at the same time too. So when I'm sending out all these messages in emails, it's cost that, just that, with the possibility of making probably $10,000 a week from that, it's costing me $70 a month to do that. Whereas Facebook ads might cost you $12,000 a month to do that, if that makes sense. So it's very easy to make that happen too.
Can I ask, what sort of people are you reaching out to?
So I do things a bit differently, right? So I come from a distribution background where you go and find people who have the audience you already want to speak to, or the perfect customer that you want to deal with, that they already have a large congregation of them. And then you go and find that person who can open up a door to thousands of prospects for you instantly, right? The reason why I put something up the other day on Instagram saying I want to be on people's podcast, as long as they either have a business owner or someone who wants to generate new business in their audience space, is that they hear my message, they hear my offer, and I didn't have to go and speak to 4,000 of them. I spoke to one person who opened up the door to me to 4,000 more people, and I created an offer for the person who has the key to the kingdom. For example, being on this podcast right now, I know podcasters because I know them at a depth level. Podcasters need people to have good content because they want their podcast to get listened to. Because if they get people to listen to their podcast who have good content, the beauty is they'll come back to listen more and more and more again, and they become like constant viewers. So for me, what I am to you, I hope, and you can tell me if this is right or not, I am a great key to the kingdom for you guys to have more people come and listen to your podcast because I have knowledge that they may want to hear, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So what you guys have for me is potential people that may come and research me further this and go see what programs I have and go buy my programs. Mm. So that's how I do all my business. And I'll give you a perfect example right now too, right? Who I generally tend to teach, there's two people. I teach business owners and I teach sales professionals. So people who are salespeople and people who are business owners. One of the type of people that I'm currently actually partnering up with are recruitment agencies. What I'm doing with the recruitment agency is I'm going to them and saying, hey, I want to train your recruitment agency at my cost. Not going to cost you guys a thing. I'm going to teach you guys how to generate new business right now through COVID-19 and how to become essential purchase recruiters right now where people need to speak to you because they know you can help. For that, I'm also going to give you 6 emails that I want you to send out to your database for me. These emails are going to send people to, like sent to the people in your database, being the business owners and the sales professionals, driving them to my landing page, being thecoldemailmastery.com, which is going to give them a free book on how to generate a meeting with anyone right now using the exact same methods and processes that I use. Now, if people go and buy one of our courses after that, 60% of the money that that person pays for that course goes to the recruitment agency, not me. So that recruitment agency, the courses are $497. If someone buys it from them, they get $298.20 for every single person that signs up. So what I do is I partner with these people who send it out to 40,000, 50,000 people at about an 8% hit rate, go and buy that course. They make $20,000 for doing literally fucking nothing. They get their whole team trained for free, and I get the access to their database for doing nothing. So step one is choosing who you want to actually reach out to. And then once you choose who that person is, now I can probably guess if I were to, this is the best way to work it out in my personal belief, is choose yourself as the target market. Now, the other side of this too is you need to have something of value to them to make them feel like it's of value to them too. My cold email mastery course, for example, there is 70 templates in there that someone could just literally copy, paste, send an email, they'll get meetings next week.
Guaranteed. That's so good.
The beauty of that is because I've battle tested these things. Like, I know they fucking work.
Yeah.
Why people buy the course though, if that's the case, is because I teach you how to do it automated at scale. So you can have 1,000 going out a day where you don't actually have to send an email, and you just open up your email every morning and you actually have, I don't know, 30, 40 people who want to buy your products and services reply to you straight away, but you don't actually have to do a thing for it. So if you guys were to do something similar for your listeners and work out what it is that they want or need and were to do that, you would build yourself a really, 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 really strong little valuable list of people there that you can actually help other people access to and give them an opportunity to make money. And then they're going to want to come into your podcast. That would go, sorry, am I making sense when I'm saying all this?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I tend to ramble. I just have to make sure. I think that the thing that people miss in this is the leverage they can have with other people, but you need to build what that leverage is in the first place. That is a long form understanding of what it is that you guys could do for this specifically, right? And again, if anyone out there wants to learn how to do that properly and actually break it down into a methodical process, go and download that book, thecoldemailmastery.com. It will teach you how to do that specifically, step by step. And you can wake up tomorrow morning and have people want to buy your products in your email. No problems, guaranteed. What you guys need to have is something that is that can, like, that you can say conviction, and with conviction that it will do that for them. It's making it so, how do I explain this first? So no-brainer for the people in the first place that it comes back to such a, and this is where my whole method of pragmatic prospecting is, in respects where it just makes sense. Like, how to grow something quickly is going through joint ventures to work out how can I go and get someone really fucking quickly at scale without doing a thing but speaking to one person. That's what I'm a genius at. And that's how I get most like leverage and all this stuff too. Like, for example, I put this is to give you an insight to my strategy specifically, right? My whole goal with asking people for slots on podcasts was to get access to their audience by giving them what I knew that they would need, because what you guys as podcasters need is people that have good content. I know I have that. I speak every single day. I know I have good content. People, the listeners, go, wow, this guy's fucking amazing. We're going to come back to their podcast and listen to it again. Today, I have four. I'm doing four podcasts. This is number one of four podcasts that I'm doing. I have seven that I'm doing this week. Let's break that down into how many people will probably listen to me speak over the next week. Probably 20 or 30,000. What that also does, it's 20 or 30,000 people actually go and probably download my book. Like, that is a lot of people that I would not have had this time last week just by doing that.
Just wanted to ask a few more, probably two more questions.
Yeah, sure.
Who's someone that who you look up to and like motivates you to be a better you?
This is going to be a really like unexpected answer.
Okay.
My inner child, the 6-year-old version of me.
Yeah.
And I'll explain that in a way, because I've done the psychological work to actually understand how to communicate with my inner child at such a depth level that I know what scares him and I know what makes him happy. And I have this sounds fucked up, but it's true. I have conversations with my inner child all the time because I know what he needs, I know what he wants. So he motivates me to actually he motivates me to give me the definitions of the things that I'm scared of every single day in such a way that I know what I need to do to get through the things that I get through, and it gives me enough motivation to go and do that. What most people look for when they ask a question like that is, oh, I love The Rock because he motivates me. See, I'm not motivated by most of that stuff. I might be motivated by what what I'm motivated by is what do they have to go through to get to where they are right now? Like what versions of themselves have they had to face? What self-sabotaging habits did they have to face? Who did they have to become to be the person they are right now? So for me, who motivates me is me, because I learned how to use my past problems as my new found ways to move forward in my life at the same time too. And the only person who can motivate me more is me, because at the end of the day, you are the only person who can make anything happen for you in your life. Now, that is that's the way I wanted to answer this question, but I also looked at some other people for like motivational stuff too, right? I look at Tamara as a great motivator too. Like, she's the most resilient fucking person I've ever met in my life. Like, she hasn't had a great upbringing. She may not be where she wants to be right now. I'm not where I want to be right now. No one is. And it's the beautiful thing is to see that even people who get down on themselves still get up every day and do what the fuck they need to do to make things happen. Then you have people like, I don't know, like I can't even think of anyone that I would say that I truly look up to. I look up to a lot of rappers. Like, I love Jay-Z. They've done it for the impact that he's had in the world. I love Pete, like Diddy, for the same reason, because the way that they actually have the ability to structure their life in such a way that has been able to get them to the level of excellence that they're at right now. Another one being, if you guys have watched the Defiant Ones, which is the story behind how Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine created Beats, the headphones.
Yeah.
The methodology that Jimmy and Dr. Dre used to make that happen was exactly what I just told you guys just then in how to actually get your podcast grown. The methods that I use are exactly what Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre did to grow Beats. It's exactly what they did. It's the exact same formula. It's the exact same way they grew. I take all my fucking lessons from this stuff, and some of the biggest lessons I take have nothing to do with business in any way. It's how did they get out of their own way enough to make that happen? So I can tell you a million people that motivated me in that respect, and I give you the exact reasons why at the same time too. But at the end of the day, who motivates me the most? It's me. That's probably the person that motivates me the most, because I want to make me happy. Thank you so much for having me today, guys.
We'll put all your links and everything in the bio so they can access your content and everything as well. So that's amazing.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, girls. Have a great day, okay?
You too. See
ya. Bye.
Thank you for listening. We really appreciate your support. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, subscribe, and leave a review at Finding Our Balance.
You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook to keep up to date on our journey to finding our balance.